I truly hate being at a crossroad, and I think I've gotten better over time as I've gotten older about making decisions. But there have been moments in my life where, you know, I feel like I already knew the answer. I know I had the experience even back then, and I knew I had the clarity and even the proof, but I still found myself asking someone else what they thought. And it wasn't because I needed guidance, but because I needed confirmation. And now I realize that it wasn't about the decision itself. It was about seeking validation. Thank you for joining me. My name is Anna, and this is Lightly Ever After, Strong Like a Mother Feather. And if you're here and this is your first time, welcome. I'm so glad you're joining me. At the risk of maybe oversharing a little, I am talking today about seeking validation from other people, external validation, and how you too can change this behavior, of course, if you chose to do it, so that you can then move on feeling confident in making your decisions and moving on to the next step. Now, think about it from this point of view. When you have a baby, or think of yourself as a baby, and the first things that you get as a baby is usually your parents, you know, just going wild when you have your first smile, or when you take your first baby steps, or when you say your first word. That's when you start learning about validation. You do something positive. Parents or caregivers usually give you applause and praise and approval and excitement and joy. And it's reinforced over time. You know, the first time you ride your own bicycle without your training wheels, the first time you write something on paper and it's actually a word or a letter, and, you know, you're showing your parents, you know, this is what I did. And of course, they're congratulating you. And that's, of course, in an ideal, perfect world. That's what happens. And so, you know, it's sometimes we tend to internalize this as human beings, I like to think, as a way to just checking in, just making sure that I'm doing the right thing, making sure that I'm on the right path. And that happens to a lot of babies, a lot of children. Think about it. There's 8 billion people in the world. And so we go through that. And I'm not saying that it's the same everywhere, but usually those are markers along your growth and development that take place. Then you enter school, elementary school. If you're not a homeschool child, usually it shows up differently than it would for a homeschool child. But you go to school, you start getting your grades, you start learning your subject matters, you know, English, math, Spanish, language arts, whatever, science. And, you know, that is another way of earning validation. So as you can see, it's something that it's sort of programmed into you early on. You don't even have to do a lot. You just gotta do the bare minimum. But then that really conflicts with how you make decisions, because then you start using that programming to say, okay, am I doing the right thing by joining the science fair or not joining the science fair? Am I doing the right thing by doing this one science project or maybe doing another one? So, you know, I know that this is very basic information that sometimes people just take for granted because we don't think about it from that point. But, you know, as you grow into a teenager and a young adult, it really can make a number on your psyche. And believe it or not, even though I'm not a therapist, I'm not a psychologist, I don't have a background in psychology, I do have this intuition and a very different way of seeing things from a very different perspective that helped me provide clarity in the way that we do things as human beings. Now, having said that, I'm going to give you a couple of examples as to decisions that I've had to share with other people, thinking, you know what, this is something personal. It should be easy for me to make the decision, but I wasn't still comfortable. And so maybe these stories will make you look at things happening in your life from a different perspective. So the first story that I have to tell you is about my hair. I was born with a beautiful head of dark curly hair. My sisters loved to style my hair since I was a baby. And when I went to pre-K and kindergarten in first grade, my sisters used to do my hair most of the time, either that or my mom. In first grade, though, I caught head lice. There was a pandemic of head lice in school, and my mom decided to chop my hair like a little boy. And of course, I got bullied and I got teased because now I look like a boy. And, you know, I started really, really hating my hair, regardless of what it looked like. I just couldn't deal with my hair. It just became part of my self-image, and it would just really be part of, you know, me hating the way I looked. So I grew into a teen, I grew into a young adult, and I really did not get along with my hair, period. And eventually I got married, older, you know, I'm now in my 30s, and my ex-husband, I remember him saying, you know, that he loved my hair, both straight and dark. I used to have like a reddish, brownish, copper color, and seeking that validation, I went ahead and both colored my hair dark, dark black, like dark brown, like almost blue. And I kept my hair straight for many, many years while we were married, because for me, it was a way for him to accept me and give me that validation that I thought I was in need of. And I have to tell you, I was never any more wrong than I was at that time, seeking the validation that I thought I needed. In 2020, fast forward now a few years later, we decided that we were going to get a divorce. And out of spite, I went ahead and dyed my hair completely blonde. I mean, I went from like dark, dark, dark to a beautiful, it was a beautiful, like beautiful blonde. And everybody was like, oh my God, this is so good. It looks good on you. And I really thought that he was going to be upset about it. But ironically, he actually liked it. The guy and I are still very good friends. And, you know, he's my number one champion and cheerleader and advocate. And, you know, I was like, I don't know that he gets it, that for me, his opinion at that time was so important. And that, it's not that it's not important now, because we're, like I said, we're just very good friends now. But at that point, it just mattered so much. And I'll tell you why this all comes back to my mom in a second. Like I explained earlier, seeking validation is something that you learn as a behavior. You learn it as a child. You learn it from your environment. It's something that is instilled in you. It's something that is at times very subtle. You don't even know that it's happening, and it feels normal. It's what you see. And think about it from the point of, you know, a child who sees a very happy, loving environment at home growing up, typically and usually grows up to be a very happy and loving person as a human being, as an adult throughout life. A child who sees violence and, you know, domestic violence and abuse and a toxic environment usually grows up to be aggressive and turns out to be, you know, probably violent. And, you know, unless they know how to find a way to come out of that through psychology and through therapy and through talking to people and doing a lot of soul searching and healing, they usually end up repeating the patterns. And I guess that's what I'm saying. So it feels normal. It's whatever you're raised in, that's your normal, your day to day. For me, my normal was always seeing my mom seeking validation from her husband or her husband's, you know, over the years and or her partners. And, you know, that came from me seeing her seeking the validation that she wanted from my dad in everything that she did, or from now my stepdad in everything that she did. And it just hit me that it was something that I learned both directly through the way that people made me feel when I got good grades or when I got a medal in school or when I won the field day race, when, you know, I excelled in the science fair. It was something that I learned directly like that, but then it was something that I subtly learned from my mom, which was seeking somebody else's validation. And no, I'm not here sitting blaming my parents for anything that they did. Listen, I have come to terms with the fact that my parents were young when they had me. They were in the 20s, and they were teaching me what they had learned from their parents and inherited from their parents in their environment growing up. And so I'm not sitting here casting judgment. I'm saying it clicks now. Now I understand why I spent so many years asking so many people for their opinion And it wasn't because I was asking for permission, but I don't think that I was necessarily asking for input either. And I'll tell you another story. In October 2020, I visited Puerto Rico just during the middle of the pandemic when we had a window to travel. And so I booked a flight and I came to Puerto Rico and I spent time with my dad and I spent time with my sisters. I wanted to see my relatives and spend time on the island because I had also missed being around my family, especially because the pandemic hit everybody, I think, in many ways so hard. And so I really miss my dad and I thought, you know, this is maybe the time that I have with him. This was almost 6 years ago now. And I said, I'm going to move. I'm just going to quit my job, which was a very nice job. I was like, I'm going to quit my job and just go to Puerto Rico and just go. And so when I returned to work, I think the same week I arrived, I immediately told my direct supervisor, I said, listen, I'm going to give you until the end of December so that you can find somebody, maybe the end of January of 2021, so that you can find somebody to replace me. And no, I'm not asking you for permission. I'm just letting you know I'm leaving. And so this was October. She started to mentally prepare to find somebody to transition into my role internally until they could find somebody because I was in a director position. And, you know, she continued asking me almost every other week when we had our check-ins, you know, are you still sure that you want to do this? And I was like, I'm not asking you for permission. And then in December, I remember this. Oh, my God, that was the year. December, I got a letter on December 10th. I remember just like it was today in the morning saying your divorce has been approved or, you know, judgment has been ruled on both your favors, you and your husband, whatever, and you guys are now divorced. And, of course, it was emotional. It was a very emotional day. But then that same afternoon at 2 o'clock, I didn't talk to anybody that day. I was working. I was still at work, but we were working remotely just like almost everybody in the world. And just about 2 o'clock that afternoon, I also got a letter from NeighborWorks America, which is pretty much a U.S. Big nonprofit that works with different community organizations, letting me know that I had been accepted into their executive leadership program, which was something that I had applied for earlier on in the year and it had been postponed. Now, the problem that I had at that point wasn't making the decision about whether or not I wanted to join this program. The problem I had was that I had really wanted to take on this program because it was at Harvard University's Kennedy School of Government. And so I had to make a decision. I had to sit with this change in my life and decide what did I want to do. And at that point, I thought, who do I call and what do I do? The first person I call was my mom. And it wasn't at this point, it wasn't that I was seeking her validation. I think I needed more her input. And, you know, I asked her, if you were in my dad's shoes. Now, remember, my dad is now bedridden with traumatic brain injury. He doesn't recognize me. He doesn't know who I am anymore. And, you know, he's under heavy 24/7 care. I asked her, if you were in his shoes, what would you think you would have wanted me to do? And she clearly said, for a woman who has only finished fourth grade, she clearly said, if I was him, I would want you to do this. If I was him, I would want you to continue on with your education because you can continue helping other people. If I was him, I would be really disappointed if you didn't take on this opportunity and make the best out of it. Because what are you going to do? Waste your time sitting at home taking care of him when there are other medical practitioners and, you know, support that are already taking care of him? What are you going to do? Just waste your years away? And that hit me because at that point, I was not anymore seeking validation. I was just seeking clarity. I was not seeking reassurance And I was not even second guessing myself. I knew where I needed to go. My heart was calling me to go back to Puerto Rico and take care of my dad and make sure that I will spend the next however much time he's had on earth with him. But at the same time, she was right. She was right. So I was not second guessing. I think I just needed reassurance that the next decision in my life was going to be something that I really could live with. And so, you know, it really, you have to look at it from the point of what it cost me. And the way I look at it is, did it cause any delay? Yes, of course it did. Me going through this program, it was 16 months doing online classes. I tell you, I met the most incredibly freaking talented people, I think, in the world. I was in the company of, you know, 50 plus individuals who were executive directors, CEOs, top senior management individuals. I felt here, I was like, I'm this girl from the mountains in Puerto Rico. What am I doing at Harvard? And I have to tell you that my most humbling experience at that time was walking the same hallways in pretty much the same classrooms that President John F. Kennedy and President Barack Obama walked years ago, decades ago before me. And so, you know, I didn't lose sight of where I was going. I just know that I had to take a little detour for a little bit longer. And so, you know, as I'm looking back, and I want to leave you with something that you can take back, because what I want you to take forward when you leave today, this episode, is that you don't need the validation coming from anyone who has done less than you have, number one. And you don't need the validation from someone who is less smart than you are. In all, you don't need the validation from anyone. If you need to ask somebody for their opinion, just make sure that you're asking for their input and not their permission. You don't need to be asking permission. You are an individual who knows what you want, who knows what you need to do, and you know that you got this. Because, you know, the moment that you stop asking for permission and seeking that validation, you start showing up differently. And this is not because you know everything, but because you trust yourself enough to make the next move. And that's what you have to keep thinking. Nobody has lived your experience like you have. Even your best friend, even your sibling who is closest to you, even your parents do not understand what you've gone through to get to where you are. And so giving them that much power over you really diminishes your light. And you don't need that. You are strong enough to move. You are strong enough and smart enough to make a good decision. And here's the other thing. Even if you don't make the right decision, it is still a learning experience for you. And trust me, I have stories to tell that I can share with you that will probably bore you to death, because it's been like that. I took a 2-year sabbatical from 2023 until just now, almost 3 years now. And I have to tell you that the experiences that I went through without seeking validation or asking for permission really challenged me to say, number one, can I do this? Can I go to a different country, not knowing the language, not knowing if I'm going to like the food, if I'm going to like the culture, if I'm going to like the environment? Can I do this? Can I figure out transportation and transits and transfers and visas and everything else? And people thought, oh my God, she's lost her mind. She's going through a midlife crisis. She's going through, you know, I heard all types of comments, and, you know, after I came back. And to be honest, I found that amusing. You know why? Because most of the comments came from people who have never dared to do anything on their own without asking for permission or without seeking validation. These are people who will never leave the comfort zone. These are people who will never probably take the risk and be adventurous enough to step out of their block or out of their city or out of their state or their country or whatever and venture out to do something like I have. And I'm not sitting here saying, you know what, I'm better than them, because that's not the point of that comment. The point of this comment is, I don't have to ask permission to do what I want to do anymore. I will do what I'm going to do, whether or not people like it or disagree with it. I don't care. That's not my problem. And that shouldn't be your problem either. You do what you do the way you do it best, because you know yourself better than anybody else. I'm not saying jump into something that is absolutely dangerous and that scares you to the point of, you know, petrifying you. All I'm saying is take a chance and go live life. Go make something that when you're 70 or 80 years old, if you're lucky enough to get to that age, that you can look back and say, I cannot believe I did A, B, and C. And I'm going through that right now, because now I'm looking at the last couple of years of my life, especially these last couple of years, because my life has been an adventure from day one, which makes up for a very rich life. And not in the rich sense of having millions, but I do have millions of memories that I would not trade for anything in the world right now. So I'm going to close saying, stop asking for permission. Start showing up wholly, wholesomely, and differently. And trust yourself to know that you know everything and you have everything in your power to get to where you need to get next. So I'm going to leave you with that. And I hope that you can join me next week during the next podcast. And until then, have a great week and stay strong like a mother feather.